Yes, we are welcoming a new show to iHeart and the DraftKings YouTube channel. It's called Point Game with John Wall and CJ Toledano. John Wall doesn't need no introduction. It's an insider's look at the NBA and culture surrounding the league. Every week, the five-time All-Star and the number one pick of the 2010 NBA Draft, John Wall, will give his unique perspective on the hottest topics in the league. So check out Point Game with John Wall and CJ Toledano on the iHeartRadio app, the DraftKings YouTube channel, or wherever you listen to podcasts.
Bring a little optimism into your life with The Bright Side, a new kind of daily podcast from Hello Sunshine, hosted by me, Danielle Robey,
and me, Simone Boyce. Every weekday, we're bringing you conversations about culture, the latest trends, inspiration, and so much more.
I am so excited about this podcast, The Bright Side. You guys are giving people a chance to shine a light on their lives, shine a light on a little advice that they want to share.
Listen to The Bright Side on America's number one podcast network, iHeart. Open your free iHeart app and search The Bright Side.
Hello, from Wonder Media Network, I'm Jenny Kaplan, host of Womanica, a daily podcast that introduces you to the fascinating lives of women history has forgotten. We've always been intrigued by stories of disappearances, whether it's a fraudster from the 17th century who kept evading the authorities or a novelist who taunted the Nazis and faked her own death. We all want to know, what happened next? To find out, listen to Womanica on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
At Bet365, we don't do ordinary. We believe that every sport should be epic. Every home run, every hit, every inning, every play. From the moments that are legendary to the ones that fly under the radar. Whether it's a walk-off grand slam or a base hit to center field. Whatever the sport, whatever the moment. It's never ordinary at Bet365. 21 plus only. Must be present in Ohio. If you or someone you know has a gambling problem and wants help, call 1-800-GAMBLER.
All right, this is the Ian Rapoport Stereo Podcast. This is going to be a fantastic episode. Today it's a one-on-one interview with me and Arian Foster of the Houston Texans. We're doing a Super Bowl NFL season wrap-up recap. I love Arian Foster. I had him on my fantasy team. Unfortunately, he went down with an injury. He's a beast. He's one of the best in the league. I love his personality. He's outspoken. He's dope. So I'm gonna have him in here. It's solo mano y mano, and I can't wait to meet him. Tonight, the Celebrity All Star Game on ESPN, the NBA Celebrity All Star Game, Celebrity Fiasco. Because I'm not gonna be there this year. I couldn't make it. I was invited. But even better than me playing in the game is I'm commentating the game tonight on Rabble TV. That's right. I'm talking shit. I'm talking greasy. I'm telling it like it is tonight on Rabble TV. Not Marv Albert. Not Brent Musburger. It's not Dick Vitale. It's all Rappaport Everything giving you the play-by-play. Drake is coaching the Canadian team. Kevin Hart is coaching the American team. RABBLE.TV. I'm going to be kicking ass, talking shit. And tomorrow night during the slam dunk contest and the three-point contest, I'm talking even more shit. If guys miss dunks, this is not going to be friendly fire. It's going to be fun. I'm going to keep it fair but firm, but more on the firm side. No Bruno. Rabble TV tonight. All Rappaport, everything. Going live and direct. I'm excited about this. All right. We're live and direct. In the gloom tomb of Los Angeles, California, with one of the best NFL running backs in the last... How many years have you been in the league, man?
This was 7 this year.
7 years?
Yeah, man. Getting old.
How old are you?
29.
Damn.
Yeah.
Old for NFL standards.
Yeah, young for life, but old
young for life.
Yeah, young for life.
Arian Foster is in the gloom tomb. This is my first... You know, I'm a big NFL fan.
Right.
So this is my first one-on-one with like an NFL star. I'm excited about this.
I'm excited, man. You're a star. So.
Shit. So you know, I don't know what the NFL. You could curse. I could curse. Whatever. So, you know.
Shit, yeah.
So, you know, because I know when you guys. That's a question I always have for athletes. Like you guys, is there like a just making sure everything's recording here. Is there like a policy? Like, obviously, when you're on ESPN, you're on NFL Network. Right. If you're not, do they say, like, is there like a symposium? Like, yo, don't curse, don't.
Yeah, it's kind of like a, I don't want to say an unwritten law, but it's like you're not supposed to do anything that'll quote unquote damage the brand of the Shield.
Right.
And like when I was young, I really, when I was younger, I used to really follow that mold.
Right.
But like as you grow and you see just how much bullshit it all is and how much the media really just loves to sell blood, I just don't care. Like I don't really care about what people think about me anymore.
How do you mean like sell blood? Like, I mean, I know generally, but like for you, because I mean, I want to get into all that. Let's go back to that. We'll come back to that.
All right.
I'm very excited you're here. Arian Foster, for those of you who don't know, Houston Texans, you're almost like the Matrix. Like the way you run, your running style, like you more so, like the when you almost seem like you're like slowed down. Like you're not like, you're like making people miss. You're like sideswiping. You're like on some Keanu Reeves shit.
I appreciate it.
You know what I mean? Like, you're not considered like a fastback, right? Like, what do you run the 40? Because I run the 40, like, I say 4.4, 4.45.
You're a 4.4.
Like, right now, maybe 4.6. Like, right now, I could do like 4.6. Right. I got jeans on, maybe 4.8 at the worst.
At the worst. Okay.
At my worst.
Yeah.
I'm just saying, if you want to have a race.
Right.
You let me know.
You might get me right now.
I might get you right now, but when you're in training camp mode, I might get you then too. I'm known for my speed.
With the jeans on.
With the jeans on. I'm not going to wear shorts.
Gotcha.
Like, you know what I mean? Because, you know, I know you come from some injuries, so I'll wear the jeans just to do it. But
I appreciate
like,
that.
You're like, so as far as like what's the, are you a speed back? Like, how would you articulate yourself?
I would.
You'll run a motherfucker over.
I can. I just choose not to. Because it prolongs your career,
right?
And I guess I would call myself an all-purpose back. I could do it all. I could run. I feel like I could run with the best of them. I can catch with the best of them, and I can block with the best of them.
Right.
And I could just do it all.
Right.
That was my goal, is to never come off the field.
I hear you. Yeah. Well, you're doing a good job. Good job with that.
I appreciate you.
All right. So I got to jump into the Super Bowl. Did you watch the Super Bowl? What did you think about the Super Bowl? What are your opinions on it? Who did you think was going to win? Were you surprised? Cam Newton. I mean, I'm a huge fan.
Super, yeah.
But I felt like he dropped the ball. He dropped the ball literally. Ba-dum-bum. I'm here all week, folks. Try to veal. But I felt like, you know, for me, and I've been, you know, I've been talking good and bad, because that's what I do with the I Am Rapport Stereo podcast.
Right, right.
But I felt like if you're going to smile and talk shit, And enjoy the moment. Not to say you should enjoy losing, but I felt like, and me, I'm the biggest sore loser you're ever probably going to come across, Arian. And even I would have been able to go out there and been like, congratulations for Peyton Manning, something. But talk about the game. Talk about the whole hysteria of it.
Yeah, so I watched it. I honestly thought Carolina was going to win, because I didn't think Denver's offense was going to be able to put up that many points against Carolina's defense.
Right.
And I knew it was going to be a defensive battle, because both of them have amazing defenses. That's how you win championships in this league. I wasn't really rooting for anybody. It was good because Coach Kubiak used to be my coach. So it's good to see him win. Some of my ex-teammates like Owen Daniels, it was good to see him go get him a Super Bowl ring. So I was happy for those guys. But, you know, it's... The Super Bowl hype is it's a real thing, man. And
it's crazy, right?
Yeah, I think everything gets blown out of proportion when it's at that level.
In terms of what, like the focus of the game, or just
I'm talking about the whole Cam Newton not answering questions thing. I've been in that position, not that position that lost the Super Bowl and you were the MVP of the league, but I've been in a position where I didn't want to talk to the media after the game because like I fumbled the ball or something happened where I just wasn't confident in what I was doing. And
you just know, like, the questions are coming.
Yeah, the questions are coming. Like, what happened? And you know they're going to come. But I was just I can't speak for Cam. I really can't. That's another grown man. But I was just my father always just instilled in me, man, like, you got to face the music. Like, whether it's good or bad, you got to face the music. And I'm not judging Cam. Like, I feel like he's a lot of that, in my opinion. Because there was a dude, I think, on the other team that was answering questions
behind him,
right next to him.
And he was hearing it.
He was listening to it. And so that, I feel like that's not the right way to conduct that interview if you want to do that.
Because it's distracting and it's just sort of adding fuel to the fire.
Yeah, it's kind of like, I feel like the guy probably knew he was right there too, so he's probably adding to it.
Right.
And it's like, man, get out of my face. Like,
right.
I feel where he's coming from.
Right.
But I mean, we all can say we would do something different in that situation.
Right.
It's hard to judge. But I try to judge men off of the off of their entire body of work, not just one moment.
No, I agree. And like I said, I'm a Cam Newton fan. He's also, what is he, 25 years old?
Yeah, 26. He young cat, man.
It's crazy. I mean, and all the pressure and all that stuff, it was either going to end perfectly or, I guess, end like that. Because, I mean, as far as like a season and the 2 weeks and the way he carries himself in such a good way, yeah. And to have that pressure and to have, you know, it just was everything was leading up. I wonder in his head, did he even imagine losing? Because I felt
probably
like Carolina, there's got to be a sort of like, you know, not... Like literally, like some sort of shock, yeah, you know, involved with
sure.
that. Like, and then you're out there, and Beyonce's out there; she's looking good, and you know, Bruno Mars is like, "Yo, he's shorter than I thought." Like, there's all this shit going on, and so I guess, you know, and I mean, I would guess that I mean Peyton Manning's retiring, right?
I would think it's not a better way to go out.
Why play around with it at this point?
I mean, I'm not 100% what happened during the season. But
he weeble wobbled
like,
all his ball.
Yeah, he lost his job mid-season or something like that.
Well, he was hurt.
Okay, that's what
I mean.
Okay.
He came out. He was doing good. How am I telling you this, Aaron? I mean,
I don't watch football.
Do you not watch it?
I watch zero football, man. That's funny, huh?
Are you serious?
I watch zero football, man.
Come on, man.
I swear, it's like.
Did you watch it, or do you just now, like at some point, obviously?
No, of course. I used to be a super fan growing up. Like, I loved it. But once you see the business side of the game, you just watch it differently. Like, I was a Raider fan growing up.
Right.
I don't root for the Raiders anymore, obviously.
Right.
I don't root for anybody anymore. Like, I can, like, because I'm pondering, you know, entering the last couple, 3-4 years of my career, and I'm
right.
thinking about what's life going to be like after football.
Right.
And I'm looking at the game differently. I look at the game like, man, I hope these guys just come out healthy.
Right.
Right. Because they got families. They have, you know, it's not just entertainment to me anymore.
Right.
I see the men and the humans behind them.
Right.
Which is a vantage point that not a lot of people get to see.
I get it.
And so I just don't watch the game for entertainment purposes anymore. I mean, I do still enjoy the game.
Right.
I love it. But it's just hard for me to watch it from a fan's perspective. Maybe I'll come back to later on in my
right,
life.
Right, right, right.
But
you
as of right now, it's just hard to
I hear
hard
you.
To watch.
I hear you.
Yeah.
I mean, Peyton was doing good, you know, and then he was... You know, then I feel like it's injuries with him. It's like if Peyton Manning can't throw the ball, it's because something not right with Peyton Manning.
Of course.
I mean, any NFL quarterback, like, if you're throwing that many ducks up in the air and it's Peyton Manning throwing ducks,
yeah.
Something's not right. It's not like he just forgot how to throw the ball.
Right.
But, you know, so I mean, I would imagine, you know, I would think, and I hope he shuts it down because they got there. This is the way to do it.
You know what I mean? That's the way to go out, man.
There's so many areas I want to cover. And I don't know if you ever listened to the Iron Rapport Stereo podcast, but I go raw dog without a bag. Can you attest? Do I have any notes in front of me, Aaron?
You have no notes.
I got nothing.
Just a dog and some water.
Just a dog and some water. And there's no tricks here.
No tricks.
I am on a tightrope above the Twin Towers walking.
The walk.
This is it.
This is it.
So there's probably going to be things that people are going to be like, how come you didn't ask him this? How come you didn't ask him that? But I'm gonna stay focused. The Marshawn Lynch, Calvin Johnson, and you mentioned health. You struggled with injuries.
Yeah.
And you know, let's assume one or both of these guys retire.
Right.
And Will Smith and concussion. And I want to talk. You know, I want to talk about that performance because I know you're starting to get into acting, and I just want to let you know, like, don't be trying to take any jobs from me.
I'm gonna get it if I can.
No, but I've heard like you're around. You're getting this job. You're getting that. I'm just I'm watching you. Don't fucking come for any of my jobs.
I'm coming for it.
Okay, because I'm not. I don't care. Like, what are you? 220?
230.
Okay, so I'm just saying, like, the race could happen, like, the UFC shit could happen. I'm just letting you know.
No, I'm not doing UFC.
But as far as, like, these guys retiring, how much of a conversation is health after football now changed from when you were in college to when you even came to the league? Because it's every single day it's mentioned.
It's huge, man. That's actually a big misconception that goes on. It's like in my generation of NFL football players, we get it a lot because, like, we'll say we'll fight for player rights, we'll fight for this, we'll fight for that, and like the rebuttal is, oh well, you knew what you were getting into. We didn't. As far as the concussion stuff is, we didn't. The science wasn't concrete
right.
on it until about 5-6 years
right.
ago. Now we know, but I was already knee deep in it by then.
Right.
I was already still trying to feed
it's
my
your
family
life.
So that's what I was doing. the younger generation growing up, they know what they're getting into.
Right.
We did not know what we were getting into.
Right.
We knew as far as like the physicality of the game and it was going to hurt our shoulders, our knees, but
right.
as far as brain injuries, we were not aware of how big of consequences it could be. And that's a huge misconception that I think doesn't get said enough. And I mean, as well, I mean, if you think about how violent the game is, at every game, you have two paramedics on both ends. Like, imagine going to work and you have a paramedic.
Right.
Because probably somebody's going to need it.
Right.
Like, that's crazy.
That's a job hazard.
It is. And
that's an occupational hazard.
And it's entertainment. And we like I said, we chose this route and it's a tough game. But I just feel like the empathy gets kind of swept under the rug because of the money that's involved. And people don't... put as much to the human side of you because you're getting paid X amount of dollars.
And they assume every single person is getting paid $20 million
a season. Yeah, there's a handful of guys on each team that are millionaires. And
right.
the rest of the guys are journeymen trying to make it. They make a good living, but
right.
you could be here one day, gone the next. And it's not everybody is a superstar million-dollar athlete. It's not like that.
And breakdown, you know, in layman's terms, you know, in terms of the, like, you know, some sports, like there's dudes that are retired from the NBA. I mean, some of my Knicks who've retired are still getting paid. Of course I'm a Knicks fan.
Sorry to hear that.
Yeah, well, listen, I don't want to go down that path, all right?
All right, let's go. Let's stick to football.
But you know, like in other sports, particularly basketball, you know, there's guaranteed money.
Exactly.
In the NFL, explain what they're about the guarantees and the lack of guarantees with your contract. And being cut could mean literally like...
Yeah, you get cut. See, and that's another thing is like when you're fighting for player rights in the NFL is the guaranteed contracts. We're still fighting to try to get guaranteed contracts. If you sign a $30 million contract in the NBA, no matter what happens from that point, you're getting $30 million. You can get cut the next day. That team still owes you... $30 million,
right?
But
which is good and bad. I think there's pros and cons to it.
It's good for the players,
right?
Because,
but when you act a fool, like what's his name, Bynum, who's still getting right. paid by probably two or three teams,
right.
I think for the players, for the most part, it's the right thing. But then there's some knuckleheads. But I'm right. sorry, stay on football.
No, I mean that's a great analogy, and I would say that does nothing but hold accountability to the people who are offering the contracts.
Right.
So, and that's business. You take losses in business sometimes.
Right.
That's
right.
Business 101.
Right.
And that's what people forget is that this is a business first, and that's
right.
why I always try to tell young cats coming in the NFL or whatever is like this is a business, so treat it like that. But we don't ever look like if an owner cuts a guy. Because of whatever, salary cap reasons, whatever. It's like, oh, that's a good business move.
Right.
But if a guy wants a trade and he's publicly demanding a trade or he publicly does something where he wants to go to another team, he's looked at as a bad person.
Right.
He's looked at as a locker room rioter. He's not a team person.
Right.
And it's bullshit.
Right.
Because he's doing what's best for him and himself as his family.
Right.
It's a business move.
Right.
But people don't think about that. You, like I said, they don't look at you as a human anymore once you make a certain amount of money.
They look at you as a number in a jersey,
exactly.
and that you're just you have to do this, and you should just be
exactly.
So, but let's say I get signed by the Houston Texans. They came after me at one point.
Of course.
All right, and so they say we want you, Rappaport, 5 years, $30 million.
Right.
I come out the first season, I kick ass.
Right.
The second season, I'm smoking weed in the off season. I'm freaking off. This could happen.
Right.
Anything, you know, all kind of things go wrong. I come out the second season, I blow my knee out.
Because of the weed?
Because of the weed. I came to practice with the weed. J.J. Watt,
see,
I tried to jump over his ass in practice. Blah, 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 blah. My knee is done.
Right.
They can say, fuck you, asshole. We're cutting you, and they don't have to finish paying me?
It depends on how your contract is structured. So that's what your agent is for. Agent
right.
is nothing more but a lawyer. So your
right.
lawyer goes in there and he structures a deal a certain way. And so like my deal was structured. I had a 5-year deal. And so I had a certain amount guaranteed. So you have a certain amount guaranteed.
Right.
So no matter what happens, I'll get that. I
right.
could die the next
no
day.
No matter what.
Yeah. So I'll
knee
get that
hurt,
no matter what.
Anything.
Yeah, no
okay.
matter what. And then how they structure it later on. Is up to the team and the agent. What owners like to do though is they like to make your contract back heavy. So
right.
so they put all the real
fourth
money in the back.
Season.
So they look at how you've been producing or not producing, and then they say, "What is he worth? $13 million in year 4 or $14 million in year 5?
Because he came from an ACL
exactly.
in the second season, he came, and it slowed
exactly.
him down,
which is good business,
right?
But I always say. 50% is good, like good business is 50% good business and 50% bad morals.
Right, I hear you.
It is what it is.
How much of this have you learned since you came into the league? Like, how much more, like, if you were renegotiating all your business and all your contracts and all your endorsements now, right, and you could have, like, how much money do you think you could have saved or made based on what you know now about the business of professional football?
So much more.
Really?
So much more. Like, what I would do, and I would try to tell young cats this.
Do you?
Okay. You don't need an agent.
You don't, right?
You don't need an agent.
Because you figure it out, right?
All you need is a lawyer that understands your market value, and you can pay him a flat rate. Agents take 3%. That's the industry standard in the NFL. And I'm probably going to get death threats because of this. But
they only get 3%?
Only 3%.
How do you like being in Hollywood with these 10% motherfuckers?
Hey, man. I don't know how to.
I'll call you. You can get that. I'll deal with my business. You can be 10%. Do you have an agent as an actor?
Yeah.
Do you have an agent and a manager?
No, I just have a manager right now.
Okay. That's smart.
Right.
We'll talk off.
We'll talk later. We'll talk.
Yeah.
Off.
Yeah. Because
me. I'll get the death threats.
I'll get the death threats from the Hollywood. I'll be,
for sure.
They'll be coming after me.
But industry standard is 3%. So I always tell young kids, like, you don't need an agent. Like, that's the future of the wave. Like, any kind of, and this is what I believe, just period, in life general and business in general, is any business that has a middleman is going to eventually get cut out because of technology.
I agree.
Period.
And I agree.
An agent is like that. Even in real estate, it's going to happen.
I agree.
Because it's just going to, it's a watered down marketplace.
Direct to consumer.
Yes.
Speaking of direct to consumer, as you know, Valentine's Day is coming up, and the last thing you want to do is forget to send a gift to the people that you care about. Whether it's your girlfriend, your mom, your grandma, your teacher, your coworkers, your coach, you want to do something that's unique, that people will love and appreciate. And the best way to do that is by sending chocolate. What's even better than chocolate? Strawberries dipped in chocolate. And Sherry's Berries hits the mark with freshly dipped strawberries in super duper fresh chocolate. White chocolate, dark chocolate, and milk chocolate from Sherry's Berries is awesome. Trust me. Strawberries that are freshly picked, huge, dipped in chocolate greatness. You can get them topped in chocolate chips, chocolate nuts, and decorative swizzles. You really want to send the person you love something special this Valentine's Day, and it's coming up. Okay, go to berries.com, B-E-R-R-I-E-S. Click on the microphone and the icon in the right corner. Type in Rappaport and enter my code, Sherry's Berries. It's a great, thoughtful gift starting at $19.99, and you can get double the berries for just 10 bucks more. Trust me, go to berries.com, that's berries.com, and use the promo code Rappaport. Prepare yourself, get ready, it's a couple of days away. Sherry's Berries. So when you say talking to these young dudes, and you see, like, you know, rookies coming into, and by the way, Aaron Foster and the Houston Texans were focused, and my girl, hopefully she'll make it here. I have always watched 24/7, not 24/7, Hard Knocks.
Hard Knocks, okay.
HBO Hard Knocks.
Right.
Well, I want to get to that too. Fuck, there's so many things here.
Let's do it.
But did you enjoy that process?
No, I hated it.
Did you?
It was the wackest.
Why was it whack?
Because what I hated about it most is you kind of see everybody's demeanor around you change. And it's like they doing
stuff for the
cameras. And it's the corniest shit. Like, because, like, I mean, everybody likes to think they're a genuine person. You are who you are and you are who you say you are. But, like, are you the same person when them cameras come on? You know what I'm saying?
I'm not going to ask you to name names because that's your team.
I'm not going to do that. I wouldn't do that.
But you felt like guys were hamming it up.
Yeah. That.
I like your coach, though.
Oh, he's a cool cat. I think that's him, too. I didn't watch Hard Knocks, but who he was during the
he talked. That was him. He's entertaining.
Yeah, he's a good
guy. He's the type of coach that I would want. I'd be a coach. I'd be talking shit.
I
can't remember who the player was. It was a rookie. And I can't remember who he was referencing, but he was like, you don't know who this is. He's been in the league 9. And, you know, it's true. It's like,
yeah,
you're
sure.
A rookie and you don't know who the fuck is blocking for you.
Yeah.
This veteran 9. Like,
exactly.
You and I would be, if I was a coach, because he played him out a little bit, I'd have been like, you dumb fuck. I want 10 win sprints now because, I mean, don't you think that's irresponsible?
I think it's disrespectful.
Disrespectful,
yeah,
right?
It's disrespectful a little bit.
I mean, as a rookie, you should
veterans,
know.
You should know. You should know veterans for sure.
You're absolutely.
I made it a point when I was. When I was a rookie, to know the veterans and to not ever overstep my boundaries.
Right.
I mean, because, you know, they don't do it as much anymore, but that rookie hazing kind of stuff.
The political correct, now you can't rookie haze dudes.
Yeah, you can't do that anymore. I was like the last class that could do that.
So what was the craziest thing they tried to get away with you? Or was it just like get donuts, carry bags?
Man, it was my fullback, and I love him to death. Vontae Leach is my fullback at the time. This dude, man, he just stayed fucking with me, man. He wouldn't stop. It was every day it was something else.
Like trying to punk you or make you do things?
Nah, I mean, we all grown men. Right. It will never get there. But it was just like, so like he put... we have this stuff called Tiger Bomb, and Tiger Bomb is like icy hot, right? So it's like you put it on a joint and it warms it up.
Right.
So he put Tiger
Bomb. I'm an athlete, Arian. You think I don't know? I
mean, no, you can beat me in jeans.
I know, but I'm just saying, you're like Tiger Bomb. Like, I know you don't look like an athlete. I'm saying, I know.
Well, I don't know if your demographic is familiar.
I'm just saying, okay. I'm just saying, but I know from Tiger Bomb.
I know
from Tiger Bomb, Ben Gay. You know Ben Gay? That's the OG Tiger Bomb.
OG Tiger Bomb.
All right, so go ahead. Sorry. So I'm just playing.
Man. So he used to just mess with me every day. So he put some Tiger Bomb, OG Ben Gay, in my helmet.
Oh.
Right? And so, like, I'm putting my helmet on. And mind you, I was undrafted, right? So I'm an undrafted free agent.
Right.
Out of college. And so I'm a young cat, don't know anything about what's going on. I'm just trying to make a living. Like, I got $5,000 to my name.
Are you serious?
I'm holding on to it. Like, dear life. I met a funny story. My business manager at the time, close friend of mine, and he took me on because he was a close friend of the family. That's why we worked with each other. But I went to Applebee's one time and spent $37, and he called me. This was like undrafted, and he called me. He said, "Yo, what the fuck is wrong with you, man?" I said, "What do you mean?" He's like, "You just spent $37 on Applebee's." He said, "Who do you think you are?" I was like, "Man,
funny.
What do you mean, man?" And he's really diligent about my expenses.
I need him. I need this guy.
I'll introduce you. He's
I need a guy like that
for sure. But everything worked out. But yeah, so he put Tiger Bomb in my helmet. And little did I know, I felt it getting hot, so I took it off and I saw this orange stuff and I was like, damn, okay, he got me. So little did I know, I'm spraying water on it inside trying to wash it off. Water makes it activate, so it makes it worse. So I'm burning. And my head coach at the time was Kubiak. He's laughing, you know what I'm saying? Because it's rookie stuff
that's
going
funny.
On. And I'm like, oh my gosh, I got to take my hoodie. I'm like, go ahead, take it off, man, clean it out. It was funny as hell. But he put it in my shoes. He stole my playbook. It was just every day he was messing with me, man.
And is this a real thing with the hazing now? Like, have you guys been told, like, yo, you can't do it, or don't do it when the camera's around, or, you know, you can't, like...
Well, it's like they don't want you to do it to the point where you feel like you're demeaning another human being.
Right, where it's taking it too far. Like, yeah. What was the player? It was the Jonathan... what was the running the lineman? It was the lineman.
Remember, I don't watch football.
Come on, man. Well, it was the whole thing with the... Anyway, so I think that thing took it over the top, and then also... Oh shit! I don't. You know, one of the things we pride ourselves on at the Iron Rapport Stereo Podcast is I don't fact check anything.
Good.
So you don't watch football. Yeah. I don't fact check. Like, I'm surprised we're even able to have a conversation because
I like it.
But
off the hip. Man.
I know
I like
dudes
it.
Have gotten hurt. You know, and then they dumped somebody. Whatever. Okay. So it is a thing now. Like, you know, dial it down.
Yeah. We used to dump rookies in the ice tub.
You can't do that anymore.
Nah. They can't do that anymore.
Damn.
I felt like it was always a rite of passage kind
of. Yeah,
like,
I mean, in the ice tub, that's a good time. You know what I'm saying? And it helps your joints. Yeah, it's like, you know.
I mean, you know, like, people are sensitive, man.
Yeah, the political correct police.
Yeah, man, definitely.
Right?
Definitely.
All right, so going back to the concussion thing. So first of all, do you think these guys are going to, like, do you think it's going to be more common that players retire early?
Yes.
You think that's a conversation? Like, you guys are, that's a conversation. You guys are aware of it.
Yes, for sure. Because once you make a certain amount of money in the NFL, you're not, and you got to remember why guys play NFL football. Most of these guys, I would say the majority, 70% of them come from low income housing.
Right.
They come from the ghettos.
Right.
And they're just trying to make a way out. So once you get a certain amount where your family's stable, what are you playing for?
Right.
I can't explain to the average NFL consumer how it feels waking up after a game where you get 30 carries. Like, I'm limping to my bathroom.
I want to hear about that.
Yeah, like, so I remember.
So tell me, like, what is Monday morning after a game, full game?
I'll say vivid
what
memory.
What time do you wake up?
Okay, vivid memory I have. I mean, it depends on if you win or lose. Because if you win, most of the time, it's you get the Monday off. But sometimes they'll have you come in and watch the film. Like, it depends on if you win or lose.
Okay.
But
tough
loss.
30 carries.
30 carries.
And, I mean, what does your body feel like? I mean, win or lose. Like, I mean, like, what does your body feel like?
And this is as a running back. Not everybody feel like Tom Brady doesn't wake up feeling like this for the most part. Because they get hit maybe once or twice hard.
He did after that Bronco game.
Possibly.
They got in that ass. No Bruno.
But no Bruno.
They got in his ass real nice. Because I you know, one thing I don't support, the Patriots. I fuck with Tom Brady. I respect him.
Right, right.
But they tapped that ass real proper. Von Miller and them got in that ass real proper. Yeah. No Bruno. All right, so anyway, so no, break it down. I just want to break it down, the feeling. Because this is something that I think that the NFL, and I noticed they're not showing this as much, but I think as a fan, you know, like, and you know, and as a fan of the sport, right, and you know, like, you want to know, like, because we see you guys at the press conference, right, we see you guys hyped up before the game.
Right.
I want to know about what we don't see and what you go through. 30 carries.
I think there's two types of fans. The one that is that respects and admires and understands what we put our body through, and then there's other ones that say, shut up and entertain me. Mm-hmm. And those are a real spectrum that I actually go through. But so after a game, 20-30 carry game, you don't walk very well. It's hard to, and you don't really feel all the bumps and bruises that you have the day of. You're still riding on adrenaline. Mm-hmm. You're still riding on painkillers.
Mm-hmm.
And then the next day you wake up, you see things that you didn't see were there.
Bruises? Like
bruises, scrapes, just stuff that you didn't really feel until day after the game. And you don't, I don't really run 100% full speed until about Thursday or Friday. Like,
right,
it's hard to recover until those days. Like, it's just part of what we do.
What was your hardest Monday after a game? Like, I mean, you, like, what was your, like, where you were like, holy shit?
It was 2012. I remember vividly. It was 2012, and we played Chicago at Chicago, and it was raining, and they have one of the worst fields when it's raining, is the footing is terrible, so we couldn't throw the ball. And this is when we were run heavy offense. This is when we went 12-4. And I got 29 carries, and it was just a slow. And I remember waking up the next morning and not being able to walk to the bathroom. Like, I literally took, my bathroom is probably 15 steps from my bed. Like, it literally took me probably like 3 minutes, like, literally to get there. Cause, like, I just was limp. I couldn't move my body. I couldn't move.
You couldn't move.
Yeah. And the more and more you walk, the more it kind of moves. I mean, your body kind of moves, you kind of get the kinks out. And
were you scared?
Nah, because I mean, by that time I'm used to it.
And then what happens? Like, and then what's the rest of your day like? Are you at the doctor? Like, and then you got to go back to work.
Well, you
because it's work.
It is work. It is
like,
work.
The one thing that I think all fans is like, you forget that, like, not every day. I remember Allen Iverson got into a thing when he was in his prime. He was saying, I don't want to go to play ball every day. Like, I don't want to go to practice every day. This wasn't even the practice, right? I don't want to go to shoot around every day. Mm. And I, like, a normal person, like, I don't want to, you know, go to the construction site every day.
Right,
or
right.
Even if you have a job that's even, like, you know, you forget that it's work.
Yeah.
And that Tuesdays you might just want to chill. Your fucking knee might be hurt. You just don't want to hear the coach scream or
exactly
whatever the routine is. Mm-hmm. It might even not even be the personality. It might just be the routine. Mm-hmm. Am I correct?
No, you're 100% right. But like I said, that's something that you won't say too much because you're not gonna get any empathy from anybody,
right?
So it's just, you kind of just keep that tucked in,
right?
Kind of a fuck it mentality,
right,
in the back of your mind,
right?
But yeah, there's plenty of days you don't want to go to work, and it's not that you don't want to do what you have to do mentally, but it's just like physically, like, you just put yourself through so much. Like, I was working out today, I'm in LA visiting. I'm working out at a 24-hour fitness, and I'm looking around, and like, these people work out just to work out.
Right.
Like, and I just didn't feel like I belong there, because, like, I work out for a living.
Right.
Like, that's how I keep my lights on.
Well, you shouldn't be going to 24-hour fitness.
Well, I mean, I just wanted to get a nice little sweat in, man.
Right.
You know? But it was just a weird feeling. So that's really the first time I've ever, like, worked out at a regular gym. And it's just a weird feeling, and you really realize how much time I've put in on the track, on the hills, in the weight room. And it really hit me this morning where I was like, damn, like,
right,
this is what I do for a living.
Right, yeah. It's a job requirement.
Yeah, yeah.
So during those weeks, so what's a typical week? So Tuesday is what? After like, you know, during the season.
Right.
Let's do a short week.
Right.
You have a game on a Sunday, because this is something that I think is another thing that they're discussing.
Right.
I think the games are whack anyway. I mean, I like it because, you know, we'd like to see you guys play. But Sunday, and then you have to fly to a Thursday game.
Yeah, I hate that.
So what is the week like? So Monday is not an easy day.
That's another thing I said I got caught a lot of flack for was like the NFL and the whole they're all about player safety and that's right. All bullshit. Like,
were you the first one to speak out about that?
I did, but like our team wasn't winning at the time, so you don't get a lot of press when you team.
Right.
I said it a long time ago.
Right.
But if they really gave a shit about us, they would not have Thursday night games.
It's brutal, man.
It's the worst. It's the worst ever. Like, you don't even practice. All you do is have walkthroughs.
The whole week.
The whole week, because that's all you can do is walk through.
Physically.
Yeah, you can't do anything else.
And you have to travel.
And like, sometimes you don't, which is better. But, like, if you have to travel, it's worse. Because then you have to leave on Wednesday.
Right.
And so, like, Sunday, you come in that next Monday, you don't even pay attention to what you just did. You go right back and watch him film on the next team, and then you're game planning. You're there to like from like, I don't know, 6 to 7. Like it's a grind.
And you're playing that game. I mean, you're always going to be sore, but like you don't have those 3 days to recover before like a Sunday 4 p.m. game.
Yeah, no, you don't. You can't. It, like the recovery is you just got to push through, man.
So what was your injury?
Don't make it sound like I'm complaining.
No, I'm not
complaining. I love what I do, and I'm very, I get the right word. I don't want to say privileged, because that's disrespectful to the work I put in and everybody else put in. But I'm just very grateful for the, for the opportunity to play in NFL.
I don't think you sound like you're complaining. I you know what I had to do today, Arian? I'll fucking complain. Okay. I'll do the complaint. Don't worry about it. All right, so what is your health like now?
Health right now is it's getting better, man. It's a slow process. I tore my Achilles week, I want to say 6, maybe 7. So I tore my Achilles,
Jesus.
And it's
what was that? Like, did you know you tore your
Achilles? I knew it.
Did it roll up?
No, it just kind of snaps in half.
Did you know what was that like? Like, did you know what it was?
I knew exactly what it was. I knew, because I mean, I've been around for football so long, I've seen every kind of injury. And so, you know, anytime you hear a pop in any joint, it's a ligament. And so I knew it exactly. I heard the pop, felt the pop. It always feels like somebody just kind of like comes and taps you from the back, like from wherever the injury is. That's what it feels like. And you hear the pop, and I knew it exactly what it was. And it's just shitty because it's like you put, I mean, you got to think about the offseason. Like, you guys see us from September to December.
Right.
But my offseason starts in late February, early March. Like, I start training 2 times a day all the way up until August, which is training camp. And then I'm in training camp for a month.
Right.
And so, like, so from March to this March, April, May, June, July, and then August and then September, and then October comes, and then bam, your season's over just like that in one play.
And you were coming off an injury.
Coming off of an injury, yeah.
And so when you get an injury like that, and that happens, and you go down, like, are you in shock? Like, does things slow down? Can you hear what's going on? Are you like, holy shit? Are you thinking about your future? Are you thinking about like, I'm never going to do this again? Am I like, what's going through your head when you went through that injury?
Me, I was just livid, just like livid, just mad.
Because it wasn't so much pain. Like, you had your senses about
you. Yeah, nah, it wasn't the pain, like the physical. I mean, it hurt, but it was just like, you just think about, man, all that work I put in. Like, I literally, like, I pride myself on how hard I work. That's how I got in the NFL. I was undrafted. Nobody gave me anything. I pride myself on working harder than anybody around me. And so I put myself, before the season started, I was in the best shape that I've ever been in my life. And, all my teammates could see it. There's like, they all said, like, this is going to be his best year. I felt it was going to be my best year. And I remember just, like, being livid. Just being upset at the fact that I don't want to say wasted the time because it was just like,
because you got to start from square one.
Yeah, man, it's just like right back to and then the doubt sets in. Then you start hearing all these people that don't know shit about anything talking about this and, oh, he's not gonna do this, he's not gonna do that, and then it just, the motivation starts back.
And has your recovery, like, it start, like, because it's an injury like that, like, you have to start working out, like, you have to start recovering. And then,
well, you have to fix it first. And so I was in a cast for like 2 weeks, and then in a soft cast for another month, and then
Jesus.
Barely started pushing pressure on it. Like, I think 2-3 months afterwards.
And this is like similar to what Kobe went through.
Same.
Man, oh man.
Yeah, it's tough, man.
All right, Arian. Everybody likes a nice glass of wine. I don't know what you do during the off season. You look like a cool guy. Drink some wine. And what I started doing, I got connected with Club W, and they changed everything for me. Okay, it's easy if you want a beautiful
bottle of wine. You just go to clubw.com, answer 6 simple questions, and it'll create a palate profile just for you. Then they send you wine directly to your door, perfectly customized to match your taste. You don't have to go through the stores and scratch your head and ask questions to people that know less than you. Go to Club W. Club W is leading the grape-to-glass wine revolution. They work directly with the vineyards to cut out the middleman. That's what we're talking about, cutting out the middleman, which saves you money. With Club W, you get premium wine customized to your taste at a third of what you pay at the store. Even an NFL player can appreciate that. And right now, Club W is offering my listeners 50% off your first order. 50% off almost nothing already. When you go to clubw.com/IamRappaport, that's clubw.com/IamRappaport. Stop wasting time. Stop wasting money messing around at retail stores and start drinking wine when you want it, how you want it, and you know you're going to love it at Club W. Trust me. clubw.com.
All right, so did you see Concussion?
I did not see Concussion.
You did you see Will Smith with his accent?
I didn't. I missed
it,
man.
Did you see? You didn't see his accent?
I told you I watch football. Because most football movies I watch, to me,
that's a downer anyway.
Corny, yeah, they're super corny.
I mean, and I was like, even football fans don't want to see that shit.
Yeah, no, I didn't want to see it.
Especially during the middle of the season. Like, it's like, I'll watch. I mean, and like, I'm like, I know the players don't want to see this shit. Like, it's, we're trying to make a playoff run. I don't want to see Will Smith.
Yeah. I heard he did his thing, though. I heard it was one of his best performances.
I mean, he's always good.
Yeah.
But I knew that accent was going to be an issue going into it. I could hear it. Like, you know how you see football? Right. And I'm no disrespect. This is no disrespect to Will Smith. But I knew that accent was going to be a problem.
Right.
But so I'm just playing fucking Will Smith. He's not probably going to come on the podcast. So the rumor that I'm hearing is that you've been dipping your toe and dipping the back of your ankle and a newly healed, healthy Achilles into the acting world.
Yeah, you've been hearing correctly.
So, where did that come from? Are you serious about it? Like, how did it come about? And like, what's your point of view on it? Like, is it something you're exploring, or is it like a hobby? How did you even this come about?
I've always been into the art of performing, and so when I was in high school and middle school, I used to take improv classes.
Okay,
and so I used to just love doing improv stuff, like Whose Line Is Anyway, that kind of stuff.
Okay,
and we used to take acting classes just for fun. I used to love it. And I always felt like I had a little niche for it. And so I figured, you know, you only get one shot at this life thing, so you might as well empty the bucket. Just do everything that you feel you want to do.
Right.
And so I got an opportunity to be on Hawaii 5-0 when I was at the Pro Bowl. They needed somebody to come fill in. And so I did it. And everyone was there was really receptive, and they were like, yo, you can do this. And so I was like, okay, cool. And so we got another opportunity to be in Draft Day with Kevin Costner. So I did that. Same thing. Everybody was really receptive, and they said, you need to go ahead and pursue this. So I said, you know, why not?
And so that's crazy. So did you enjoy the part in Draft Day? Did you enjoy, like, that process?
It was fun. Yeah, it was fun.
Had you been on sets before, beside the Hawaii 5-0 set?
No, I've never been on a set before.
Well, what did you take away? Like, what did you learn about the magic, the quote-unquote magic of movie and television making? Like,
what
it's
I learned,
slower, right?
What I learned was it's
a hurry up and wait is
hurry
real
up
reality.
And wait. Yes.
It's a real hurry
it's
up
like
and wait.
They want you there at 6 a.m. and you don't shoot till 10.
And they might not even say anything to you till 8.
Exactly. And so
see, that's something I got to hip you to. Like, they say 6, you'd be like, that's the time you want me there. What time do I need to be there?
Exactly. Yeah, no, I'm learning that, man.
Because they're always like, they're like 5:45. Like, they're fucking crews, not even. Like, no one's going to be there at 5:45.
Yeah, but I don't know. I always just show up anyway. I don't have anything else to do that day, so.
Right.
Might as well just show up when they want. I figure it makes people's lives easier, man.
Absolutely.
I'm not that into myself. But I think the craziest thing I took from it was my first scene I ever shot in the movie was I was walking down a New York downtown Manhattan block with Terry Crews.
Right.
He played my father in the movie. And so this is my first scene ever. And so I'm with an established actor.
Right, and Terry Crews.
Like, known. And in New York, they can't block off. It's not like LA where they can block off sets and you have extras walking. Like, those are real people.
Right.
And so they're screaming, Terry, Harry. Like, they, you know what I'm saying? And
right.
You're like, yo, I'm like, you know what I'm saying?
And you got to focus on the line.
You
got
to stay focused. And I did a good job at it. And that's what Terry did a real good job of kind of hipping me to the game because he came from that world too.
Right.
He was a football player. So it was really cool. But I think what I also noticed is, like, I'm a real stickler about, like, remembering my lines. So, like,
right.
Because I don't ever want people to think I'm coming in just trying to coming because I play football. And
right.
I, there's no arrogance. Like, I want to start from the bottom and I want to earn my keep in
right,
this business.
Right.
So I knew all my lines. I tried not to ever mess up. But he's like, man, sometimes I just mess up on purpose just to get the jitters out.
Right.
It's not that serious. And
right.
I was like, man, okay, that makes it a little better.
And in acting, as opposed to, you know, taking, you know, you got the ball at the 1 yard line, you get to take two, you get to take three. There ain't no
takes. Yeah.
So yeah, you got to. I mean, I think the most important thing about acting, probably, you know, one thing that, you know, I'm always when you watch like somebody like Steph Curry, or when I was talking about the way you run when you're in your groove, you know, and same like when you watch a great actor, you know, you have to be relaxed, right, and there's a comfort. And, you know, probably for you, you know, getting the ball at the 5 yard line, there's probably a certain time where it's probably like you're in a suspended reality and there's like, you're not tight.
Yeah.
Whereas the normal person would be like, oh shit,
yeah,
you know?
Yeah.
So, you know, like to achieve that in acting is the goal, you know what I'm
exactly.
saying?
Exactly. Is that repetition? Repetition is the mother of learning.
Because you know, like when you watch like a guy like Curry, or when you watch like, you know, Cam, or anybody who's in the zone playing sports, like they're not, you know, or you watch LeBron, or like when they slow it down, like when you see those slow motion clips of Michael Jordan and his tongue's out, there's no stress in his face.
No, that's exactly. I try to tell young athletes is like if you watch all the greats. They're relaxed. It's like when you tense up, that's you can't be at your physical peak,
and your mental.
It's both. Yeah. If you watch LeBron James when he drives the ball down the, he's really relaxed. His face bounces.
He's looking around.
If you watch old clips of or even new clips of Usain Bolt running down
right.
the track, when he runs down the track, his face is bouncing up and down.
That's crazy.
He's relaxed. Yeah.
Yeah,
it's a little secret that people don't know.
I was gonna say that about like the sprinters when they slow it down. There's no scrunch,
yeah.
and they're just breathing. And uh-huh. I mean, there that has to be a similar thing for athletes and acting. So who if you had to say your top five films of all time? Say, look, check this out. You're on an island.
Never coming back.
And you can only bring five films. What were your fives?
That's tough. Just on the spot.
It's interchangeable. It's not a right or wrong answer.
I gotta go Shawshank Redemption.
Mm-hmm.
I gotta go Training Day.
Okay. Denzel. He's sort of the dude. I mean,
he is.
I mean, as far as like actor, movie star, like he's the whole.
He's just like. It doesn't matter what he does, you want to be that. Like, he had me wanting to be a train conductor.
Right.
Like, you know what I'm saying?
Right.
Like, I want to do that.
Right, right. Now, he's just that
yeah,
good.
He,
to me, he's one of the only, like, you know, like you could say, like, bad players. I mean, good players on bad teams. He's one of the only actors who can take a bad movie,
right.
like a mediocre script, and right. elevate it
right.
to very good, just
exactly.
single hand. Like, if you would put probably anybody else in the Training Day performance,
yeah,
you don't know what that's gonna be.
It'll be like an average movie. Yeah.
He got an Oscar for
yeah,
shit.
He's,
like he brings it. He elevates it. Like he elevates it to another level.
Yeah, he's a different kind.
All right, so two. That's two. Training Day.
Yeah.
Shawshank.
Give me Ratatouille, man.
Okay,
I love.
We gotta have a little humor on the island.
I love that. I'm gonna go real old school.
Go ahead.
You seen The Last Dragon?
Of course.
Yeah, The Last Dragon.
I heard they were remaking that movie.
Shut up, who?
I heard they were remaking it and with, that's what I heard.
I need to know. I need to know.
That you had to get in
it's
on
important.
That.
They have to get Shogun right.
He's gotta be right.
How much is that?
That's four. One more.
Oh, Life. Life.
Okay.
Easily.
That would be it.
Yeah, for sure.
Yeah, because you got to have some.
And
that's
and that Harlem Nights, if I could sneak it in my bag somehow.
Over Life?
No. I'm saying as an alternate.
Okay.
Yeah.
Harlem Nights is good.
Harlem Nights is a classic.
So what actors have you in your days? Because, you know, obviously, athletes are fans of actors. Actors are fans of athletes.
Yeah.
Who did you meet that wasn't an athlete that knew who you were, that you were like, oh shit, and that you were like, you know, like it was like,
you.
Come on, man.
No, because it's a funny story. I tell my family that. We were walking that. Who was that?
You were at the Grove.
I was at the Grove, and I was just walking.
And I was with
you,
a car.
You was with your kids.
Yeah, I was with a bunch of kids.
Yeah, and you pulled up on me. You were like, Arian Foster. I was like, how do you know my name?
Yo, and then, you know, it's funny. When you see somebody like Arian Foster, you're like, oh shit, that's Arian Foster. And
yeah.
it was in the middle of the football season,
yeah.
and it was in L.A., because I think you were coming off an injury.
Yeah.
So we were all like, what the fuck is Arian for? I mean, yeah. We were cursed because it was kids, but yeah. I mean, now they're older, they'd be like, oh shit. But I remember yeah. they didn't say anything. And then yeah. when I drove off, I was like, why didn't you say it? They were like shocked yeah. when they seen you.
Yeah, it was super funny, man. That was an important moment in my life, man.
Ah, come on, man.
Another one is he's not an actor, but he's a musician. And he's just kind of starting up, but I'm a huge fan of him. My girl actually played one of his songs, and I just fell in love with him, became a huge fan of him. And I have a good friend. His name's Hit Boy. He's a Grammy-winning
okay,
producer.
Okay, 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 of course.
So I always go to, every time I'm in L.A., I'm like, hey, I'm going to come through just to be a fly on the wall, because right. he makes some of the best music of our generation.
To come to the
opinion.
Studio.
Yeah, so I always just go to his house and just vibe. So he's there. So I see some guys sitting there, and he introduces me. He's like, yo, this is Blue Blue Blue. He's like, this is Arian. And he's like, oh, you don't have to introduce yourself, man. I'm a big fan. I was like, oh, I appreciate it, man. And so I'm talking to Hit Boy's manager afterwards, and he goes, yo, that's Spazzy Rocket. He did Blind Man. And Blind Man's one of my favorite okay. songs out right now. And I was like,
he had produced it.
No, he sung it.
Okay, okay.
He sung it, and because he's a singer.
Okay.
And like, I'm just a huge fan of him, right. but didn't really know what he looked like. Because right. you know, nowadays, you just stream all the music.
That's true.
And yeah, so we connected, we exchanged info, and he's a really good, really good dude, man.
That's dope.
But it's crazy. That's dope. It's crazy, yeah.
And so let me ask you a question. Headphones, when you guys are out on the field, first of all, when you're walking in the arena, are you listening to music or you just don't want to hear any bullshit? You guys, everybody's rocking, both.
Both.
Because I mean, I like music, but I mean, everybody's, almost now it's like a cliche, like the headphones. So yeah. So when you're walking in, and how conscious of you are like, because the whole athlete's fashion game, because you know, like you carry yourself good, you well-dressed, you got your beads, you got your hat, like you smooth dude. Like, you know, how conscious are you guys of looking good and the fashion and all that right. stuff?
I used to be extremely, like, I used to bow tie, I used to get dressed to the nines. I used to, like, love dressing up. But, like I said, as I grew in my career, I just stopped caring. Like, I just right. don't care anymore. Like, I stopped wearing suits. I threw away all my suits.
So you
I don't have any suits.
But is there a dress code in the NFL?
There is a dress code, but I asked my coach if I could, because he said, because the
as long as you don't come in like a homeless person.
The rule is you have to dress formal, and so I went with the technicality. I said, formal in what culture?
Uh-huh.
He said, because formal in this culture is the business suit and tie, and I was like, where did that came from? That came from Europe, and yeah, so I broke it all down to him. So there's this Indian garb that I have. I forget okay. what it's called. It starts with a I forget what it's called, but it's an Indian garb that they wear. It goes below your knees, and it's really smooth, really nice right. looking, and I can wear sweats and some loafers right. on, and it looks really
and
nice.
It looks good.
Yeah,
they so just don't that. Want dudes coming in. You know who screwed it up is when, I'm not naming names, but when the basketball players started coming in to NBA games wearing other jerseys. Like, yo, you're in the NBA, my man. You don't need to wear a jersey. I mean, this was in the night, like, but you're in the NBA. You're already in the league.
That was the style.
I got it, but I'm saying there's other styles to rock.
I say,
and then some dude in the NBA was wearing a jersey while he was on his bench.
Yeah.
Like, what are you doing?
That was the style.
You can't be a Sacramento King wearing a Milwaukee Bucks jersey because you got an ankle sprain.
But if that was Wilt Chamberlain's jersey, like...
But you know what I'm saying.
So they're fans of the game, too. So I get what you're saying.
That's taking it too far. Like, you can wear jeans.
But it was... there was a case taken a long time ago to the Supreme Court, and the Constitution says that the way you dress is a freedom of speech.
Right.
And so the dress is also correlated with speech. So I always say, I don't really care what people wear. Mm-hmm. I think it's just a facade anyway.
Right, I hear you.
So I always say, dress comfortable, man, because who cares?
And I love Cam. But my man, first of all, he doesn't look comfortable. That's the thing about the Cam stuff.
Right.
Yo, I don't know what, he's got to have at least size 13 boats, because I seen Cam.
Boats.
Yo, he's got these shoes and they just don't look comfortable. And like, I mean... Do you guys, you got to break balls. Like, who's the best dresser, like that puts effort into it on your team?
I would say Kareem Jackson.
Okay.
In the corner.
Okay.
And then he dresses.
He goes hard body.
He goes hard. Yeah, he does it. I think his shoe collection is bigger than his room. Like, he does a lot.
And who do you think has too much time on their hand at Barney's on your team? Like, who do you think takes it to, or in the league? That you like, who do you think is going too far? And Odell Beckham, at what point is, how much magenta is too much magenta for a wide receiver? So this is a two-part question. So who in the league do you think has a little, who's spending a little bit too much time at Barney's. Just
I got, like I said,
I'll name names if you don't
want
to do it.
You can name it, but like I just feel like you dress how you want, man. It don't really matter. It used to impress me, like I used to be like, man, he dresses more. I want to do that. I want a Louis this. I want this and whatever. I threw all that shit away. I don't have any I bought my first pair of jeans in like 4 or 5 years, like 2 weeks ago.
I hear you. I'm on the same shit.
Yeah, I just don't care anymore.
I want to be comfortable. Yeah, I just came from a meeting. Like, yeah. I'm spruced up.
See,
you know, like normally it's
got a polo
t-shirt
on, y'all.
Yeah, I mean, you know, it's American Apparel.
I like it, man.
But
this is an average white band shirt.
I like that.
Yeah, man.
Average white band is that's good shit. I'm gonna give you a soft ass I Am Rappaport podcast t-shirt. We're known for having the softest t-shirts.
I'm a rocket.
It's soft. You're gonna find yourself like, why am I still wearing this guy's t-shirt? I want to forget this ever happened. But you're gonna be like, the t-shirt is.
I said it's two best words in the English language: new and free.
They're always
and
good.
You're giving me both.
I'm giving you both. So, but all right. As far as Odell, you're like, I fuck with Odell. Mm-hmm. He's a giant. Giants are my team.
All right.
At what point? The hairdos, how much magenta is too much magenta? And dudes like Josh Norman, who, by the way, I don't know what he's with his hair. I don't know if he's got like a dreadlock or he's working on a crop. His shit is fucked up. I'm letting you know. I like Josh Norman too. His crop, he needs to make a decision.
You're too
a weave.
You're too involved, man.
It's too much, right? But this is the fans. Like, you know what? But like. Do you think like your
Instagram commenting right now?
The Odell Beckham syndrome, like, you know, in terms of like his popularity, his whole swag, and he's a giant and he's killing it.
Right, right.
Do you get an X on your back from being that dude? Do you get an X on the back like you when you led the league in rushing?
Right.
Are the next season are they like, yo?
Yeah, on the field it's like that, and you get the shit talking back and forth. When you first come on the scene, it's like I'm here. And you play like that, you get that from the other guys. But after you do it a certain amount of seasons, it's all respect.
They gotta respect it.
It's all respect, yeah.
And talk to me about when there's a fumble, and you guys are going after the fumble. What is the bottom of a pile in the NFL again? Because this is something like fans, we see. You know,
it gets weird, man.
Like it's right.
It gets weird.
Like that's like. That's like every man for himself.
Yeah, I've had a guy grab my my nuts before.
And he might not even been...
No, he knew it was my nuts.
He knew it was your nuts.
Yeah, he's looking at me.
In your face.
It was weird. I was like, I will not name names either, but it was weird.
And did you have the fumble?
Nah, I was just down, actually. This wasn't even a fumble, but like, I'm talking about like when there's a pile on you. Like, dudes just take cheap shots. I've had guys try to twist my ankle, punch me in the ribs, choke me, poke me in the eye.
Anything.
Anything goes, man.
Anything goes.
Yeah. Which is weird to me. I don't understand it.
Yeah, like I don't have the ball, but you're giving me, essentially.
I just feel like, man, like, who are you doing this for? Like, are you doing this for your owner? Like, why are you doing this to me? Like, it's not that serious.
Did you say that to him?
Nah, like, I mean, I have... told people that before, like some on some son type stuff, but
right?
Because like it's like I don't know, like we all out here just trying to feed our families, man. Like yeah, I play for the Texans and you play for so and so, but like dog, I don't want to hurt you like that. Like
right.
Some guys are just wired.
They're
like
nuts,
that,
right?
Yeah, like I don't know how to. I'm like, what are you doing this for, man?
Do you are there some dudes that you don't have to name names where you're like, yo, like this dude's crazy. Like are there because you're football players. I mean, this is the roughest of the rough.
Yeah, it gets like I said, it gets weird, man. It gets weird. Like we're like I seen like one of my best friends on the team. Like I ain't gonna say who it is, but like he throws up before every game
from nerves.
He makes himself throw up every game.
That's just what he does.
That's just how he gets in his zone, man. He's a baller too. So it's like I was like whatever
that's
works. Just, man.
That's
whatever works, man.
Who do you hate to see on the other side of the line? Like, who are you like, yo, this is going to be, I know this is going to be a long day.
I had that feeling one time in my career.
Who?
When it was 2010 when Ray Lewis,
uh-huh.
Haloti Ngata, Ed Reed, when that defense was like that defense. I had that one time. And
Because
it was them.
A collective effort.
The prestige of Ray Lewis and Ed Reed. And that was my first year as a starter.
Right.
And
that was their year.
That was their. Was that
Ray's last year?
No, that was 3 years after. So 3 years later, then they won the Super Bowl.
Okay.
So,
but that was that defense.
Yeah, Ray was active. Ed was active. Like they were good. Haloti Ngata. Like that's when
were they talking shit?
No, Ray. That's the first time I really got any kind of respect on the field. It was Ray Lewis, and he said, "Hey, young man, I like the way you play this game." In the second quarter, I'll never forget it. We became real good friends after
That's cool.
Yeah. We actually met later on in the offseason in L.A., and we chopped it up for hours. But yeah, he's a really good man.
Like, okay, that's cool. Because you would think his perception, because he talks a lot of shit. I mean, he just likes to talk in general.
Yeah, he likes to talk.
On the air. He's
like older and wise. So right. Like he's not on that. Like a lot of young cats like to bark. I mean, you get those like trying to prove themselves. So right. Young cats like to bark and they like
right.
jaw, but you don't really get into that too much.
I hear you.
Yeah.
All right, and here's another thing I'm interested, because you were one of the first, and I have a friend, my friend Toby, who's hardcore vegetarian. He might even be a vegan now.
Right.
And I'm not.
Right.
I mean, my girl, she's trying to get on some vegetarian shit now, and I'm like, that's fine. Do your thing. I just need to eat something. Like, I don't care if you're making the food. So what's your deal with the vegetarianism, the veganism? Are you vegetarian?
Like, no.
Was that something you were exploring?
It was. So I've always been into nutrition and what you put in your body. And so before 2012, so this is what, 4 years ago?
Yes.
I was a vegan for about 6 months. And then about mid-season, I was like, all right, I'm going to eat.
Because of why?
Because why did I start eating meat again?
Well, why did you start? Like, why were you exploring being? What was you say? Vegan or vegetarian?
Vegan.
Okay, so vegan, that's even more stricter.
Vegan. I don't even like saying vegan. I like saying plant based diet, because when you hear vegan, you think tofu, you think stuff like that. But like plant based,
there's
diet.
Stigmas attached.
Yeah, there's a lot of stigmas.
But I gotta tell you, Arian, when you say plant based diet, there's fucking stigmas attached to it too. Because I'm like, what are we? Lettuce.
Yeah, lettuce, vegetables, potatoes, really good stuff, tomatoes.
So how did your body change in the positive to being a vegan?
I recovered a lot faster.
Did you really?
Yeah, I recovered a lot faster. I noticed that. And I felt really energetic. It worked. But I really enjoy the taste of meat, so I went back. And it's
during
crazy.
The season?
I still get these questions, like, are you vegan? Like,
right.
It was 4 years ago.
It's like, a stigma, in a way.
It's because, like I said, like, the media loves blood. So, like, anything that's new or anything, they'll attack it. And so then you get all the baggage of that stereotype.
Right.
With you. So I tried it for 6 months, and 4 years later, I'm still answering questions on if I'm vegan.
But also as an athlete, because also, like, you know, the fans are like, yo, well, I want to be built like Arian Foster. I want to be able to run like, you know. So I think it's, and also I think it's so much a part of the you know, the lexicon of what goes on, vegetarian, vegan. It's so much of, you know, part of the, like, what, you know, people are talking about and exploring health and all, which is a good thing.
That's why I think it got so much attention when I did do it, was because you don't hear about professional athletes, especially football players.
A football player
being
was
a vegetarian,
muscular,
vegan. Yeah. So I think what my main goal was. To get inner city, it's all part of what I do in my foundation as well. Try to get inner city kids and inner city schools as well to start thinking about healthy options for eating, because obesity at a young age is a real epidemic in our country,
right.
And it shouldn't be. Like,
right.
We live in a country, like, we live in a world where I don't know how much, but like, there's third world countries where the entire nations are starving.
Right.
And we live in a country where our problem is we eat too much. Like,
right.
That's fucking crazy.
Right.
So we should start thinking about healthier options and exercise options.
I hear you. I hear you. That makes a lot of sense. So what is your foundation, and how involved are you now, and how involved will you be within it 5 years after you like, how dedicated are you?
No, it's called the Arian Foster Family Foundation, and I'm super involved. That's one of the things. A lot of guys set up foundations, and they just, it's like a badge.
Right.
But we're extremely involved. We had a huge fundraiser at the beginning of the season for, ironically, Morton Steakhouse. yeah, but we had an auction, and we raised over $100,000, and it goes to a lot of different programs that we have set up throughout the city of Houston and Albuquerque, New Mexico, where I'm from,
right.
as well as San Diego, California, where I went to high school. So
that's cool.
It's good stuff, man.
That's cool. And,
sure.
and Albuquerque, New Mexico, isn't that where, did you watch the show Breaking Bad?
I've heard about it. I didn't watch it.
Yo, my man,
everybody said
you gotta come on. First First of all, you got to watch the show because it's a great show, but it's heavy, you know, New Mexico.
They asked me, is it like that out there? And I was like, I haven't seen the show, but honestly, it is. There's a lot of, it's heavy drug-influenced community.
They're methed out in Breaking Bad.
Because
they're on that blue. They're on that Walter White out there.
Walter White.
You got to watch that show, man.
I got to watch it, man.
Because it's everybody a great
telling,
show.
Everybody keeps telling me
especially
about
now
it.
Especially now you're getting into, you know, we're getting ready for the Academy Award run for you. You got to
appreciate that.
One of the great things, you know, one of the things, you know, to be a good actor, you got to watch other actors.
That's true. And I am a fan of the arts, but like there's so much content.
Yeah, there's
like
so much
Netflix
TV.
Netflix and YouTube.
I got my own channel. We don't have any programs on there, but I mean, everybody, it's almost out of control now. I hope the bubble doesn't burst with it because it's a great time for television, but there's so many shows.
There's lots.
And then it's daunting. It's like, shit, Breaking Bad is a seventh season. Like, but Breaking Bad.
It's still going on?
No, but I think they did six or seven seasons, maybe. But one thing I could say about Breaking Bad as a show, it's on and pop. You don't have to be like, wait till episode 8 of the second season. Right. It's on and popping.
First.
Off the top.
I'm gonna check it out. It's hard to watch TV. Like, I haven't turned on my TV for I don't know how long. Because, like, when you're grinding and you're going after your dream, like, you just don't have time.
Right.
Like, you know what I'm saying? Like, I would love to sit down and watch TV.
No, it's good. I respect that.
Yeah, it's a grind, man, trying to do what you love.
The on the TV and on the phone is...
I hate the phone. I hate the phone.
It's an addiction. You want to talk about drugs? I mean, that is the biggest...
No, for sure.
We should put that in your foundation. Like, keep these kids, like, off the phone. That's
Keep kids off phones.
Yo, because it's bad news. They get cracked out on them.
Yeah, man.
I'm cracked out on mine.
I'm on the fence about it, though. I'm on the fence.
Are you... How heavy are you on, like, Twitter and Instagram? Like,
I used to be a super Twitter guy.
Did you ever say anything you got in trouble for?
All the time.
Did you?
No, all the time. Then, after a while, people are just like, okay, he just says... crazy shit all the time. So, like, we don't pay attention to it anymore. But, I used to say stuff that got me in trouble all the time.
And especially with the league, and there's such parameters, right?
Yeah.
And then another thing, something that you said that caused a lot of hysteria, and I don't have strong points of view in it, but I was thinking when I knew I was going to interview you, being a football player in the state of Texas,
right,
which is, you know,
the state in the union.
I mean, that's like, it doesn't get more like, you know, you had made a comment about being an atheist. I don't know how that was brought up, but talk to me about how that sort of, because that was sort of got crazy too.
Yeah.
You know, so, and that's another thing, like, you know, like the vegetarian, that's one thing. It's like, I just had a steak, you know.
Yeah, in Texas.
Yeah, right.
So it's like, I'm a vegan atheist in Texas.
You're a black vegan atheist. So so how did that comment even come up? Like, where did that even whole thing come from?
How did that come up? It was an interview that I got asked about. I've always been very... opinionated, but I've always questioned anything. I was just raised like that. You question everything. And so I would say when I was in high school, that's when I was agnostic in high school. And that's when I totally did
you
away with religion.
You were conscious of it then?
Yeah, I did away with religion, but I still felt like there was a higher power.
Okay.
And as I grew in my studies in college and kind of doing my own research on religion and where it came from, and then where the whole God concept came from, it kind of just strayed me away from it. And I'm not, like I said, I'm not one of those atheists who are like picketing, and like that's not me. I just don't feel like it's very probable that there is a God. This is my opinion. There could be. I'm all for it if there is. But like, I just say we search and find the evidence. I mean, that's where I stand on. Like, I don't judge or condemn people
on their
beliefs. Like, you believe what you believe. I have my brother is a Muslim. I was raised Muslim. My sister is a Christian.
Right.
We're all over the spectrum. So I'm just a super believer in we all have to occupy this same space and time. So we got to get along. So
I hear you.
Whatever you believe, man, you believe. Like, I'm not going to judge you for it.
But when you had said that, what was the backlash and the short shit storm that came from it? Especially, you know, being a player and then being a player in Houston.
Right. It's definitely different being a player from in Texas.
Because Bill Maher, you know, he's on HBO on his show. He's an atheist. He talk. I mean, yeah. I'm surprised. Like the shit he says. Like he just shits all over all religions.
He's hilarious though.
Yeah, he belittles it. I mean, you know, and it's taken. But an NFL player, you know, it's like you know, you did something wrong.
Yeah, for sure. At first, I got a lot of love from people who are atheists. In Texas, because that's one of the reason why I did it was I came out publicly at all was because there's a lot of people who are religious or in religious households that don't believe that. And they just feel they don't feel comfortable in their own shoes.
Right.
So when other public figures come out, public figures that they happen to look up to or maybe not, but they just see when other public figures come out and say like, it's okay to believe like this. That's why I'm kind of on the fence about, you know, are people on their phones too much. It's a connection to the entire world. Mm-hmm. So a kid can look at an interview on my phone,
right,
on his phone, and see, yo, Arian Foster's an atheist.
Right.
I have some of these same thoughts.
Right.
Maybe I should go explore this further. And whether he goes there or doesn't, at least you should. I always tell people like, go question your beliefs.
Right.
Because if you're firm and solid on your beliefs, then that leaves you as a firm and solid human being.
I hear you.
And so I got a lot of love from the atheist community. But as far as the backlash, you get that too. like you said, I've dealt with some injuries in my career. So you get that's why you're always injured. And I'm like,
oh, shit.
They can't even see the irony in that though.
Right,
so,
right.
So like if God is sitting here injuring atheists, like how petty is that?
Right, 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 right. That's funny.
But no, man, the internet's a crazy place.
The internet is buck wild.
Yeah, it's just
when you came into the league, was the internet popping off?
No, it wasn't like that.
It's crazy,
yeah,
right?
Now it's just like
you hear things about yourself. Like in my dark, I'm like, Jesus, I hate myself, but I never would even like. Fuck,
I really
man.
Hate myself now.
I mean, you're really right. Like you're making me think about things I never thought about.
Yeah,
before.
I got lucky because my mother was. Like she's not overprotective, but she just really loves her kids. And so I was at the University of Tennessee, and at the time, I mean, the internet was around, but it wasn't as prevalent. Like you didn't have all this social media stuff.
Right.
So she was on something called the Vol Chats, and I went to the University of Tennessee, and so like she was on there. So she signed in as foster mom. And when I first came on, I was really, you know, I was a really good freshman, and they all showed her all this love.
Right.
And then, I think my entire career that I fumbled 5 times. Very little percentage,
right?
But I guess the when I fumbled really hurt those fans' like feelings,
and
like,
they just went
to this day. If you say Arian Foster someplace in Tennessee, they're like, "Oh, he fumbles. He's a piece of shit." Like, "Oh, this is crazy." So like they used to get on my mom on the boards all the time. I used to read some of the stuff, and so I got kind of thrown into that mess early. So I learned. You can't pay attention to what people say.
I hear you.
99% of the people that talk shit on the internet, if they see you face to face, they'll show you love.
And then I was just gonna say, they won't even. Not only will they not say it, they'll want a fucking selfie.
Yeah, they'll show you love.
Yeah.
So it's more. Their heart is on their keyboard, man.
Okay. Now I hear you. I'm gonna tell you something, Arian Foster. Look, I know I'm many things, but one thing I'm not is a web designer. Trust me, and I just created a beautiful looking website using Weebly, Weebly. I still can't believe how easy Weebly makes it. Weebly was created for people with the courage to start their own business and to dream to be their own boss. All right, you need to be a web designer and know how to code or be a real smart aleck to create a beautiful website, blog, or online store. All right, we were all very impressed with the wide variety of professionally designed mobile-friendly themes to choose from. You simply drag and drop to quickly build and publish your own site. I did it. If you don't believe me, go to www.iamrapaport.weebly.com and check out the website that I built almost all alone. All the fan art, all the funny things we get sent for at the I Am Rapaport podcast, we made a website. 30 million people already dreaming big with Weebly. Get started today for free. For free at Weebly.com/Michael. That's Weebly, Weebly.com/Michael. Weebly.com/Michael. Check it out. Check out my site at www.iamrapaport.weebly.com. If I could do it, you can do it. Trust me. JJ Watt.
Yeah.
Is he as great as everyone says, or is he... Well, he's not obviously great.
Right.
I mean, he kicks ass.
For sure.
He seems like he just eats, sleeps, drinks. He's just like Captain America. Like, I'd be like...
He has a great analogy. Captain America.
He's like fucking Captain America.
That's a great analogy.
I mean, of course, the fact that he's like this good-looking white dude, and he's about his shit.
Yeah. No, he's... I always say it's like... He's probably going to go down as one of the greatest defensive players to ever play the game.
Earned, right?
For sure, man. He's just great at what he does, man. He's a rare combination of size and speed and quickness and agility. And he's, like I said, he's going to go down as one of the greats.
Yeah, sure. he's big too, right? He's like 6'6"?
He is 6. I don't know. I mean, I don't know exactly.
But he's something.
He's tall, for sure.
Okay.
Taller than you.
Wait, what does that mean? Like, I mean, you think like...
I mean, you can beat me running. It's all good, man.
I mean, you saying that if I was to run against J.J. Watt, you think I'd have a problem with that? Or like, what are you trying to say?
I feel like
are you saying like, it's me, J.J. Watt, and fucking Jadeveon Clowney. We're lined up. They're like, on your marks. I'm like, fucking, I'm looking at this cocksucker, Jadeveon Clowney. I said, I don't know where or who named you that name, but you're going to regret having it after I'm finished with you. And like, get set, go. Like, you're saying that's not going to work out my way.
Probably not, man.
Okay, all right.
I'm just looking at your frame.
I hear you. That's fine. This is my last question. Your off season, when you're starting to kick in,
right.
It's March. You're 2-a-days. What is it? And what your brother is? Who is he trained you?
My
right?
My brother is my trainer. Yes.
Okay. What's his name again?
Abdul Foster.
Okay, because I saw him on
9 Innovations in Houston, Texas. They do great work over there, man. And I'm not just plugging him to plug him. Like, he took my career to the next level.
He did, huh?
If you look at, you can go on the internet and type in Arian Foster college highlights, and then go type in Arian Foster NFL highlights. The difference is my brother.
Because of what specifically?
The way he trains and the way he attacks, the way he trains. So he breaks down, like if you're an athlete, he'll break down what your attributes are and what your weaknesses are, and then he attacks them. And he has a track background, and so he's a firm believer in speed. And so he got me faster, he got me quicker.
Did he?
Yeah. If you like I'm serious. You look at my college highlights and then go back and then look at my NFL highlights, you'll see a different player.
Okay, so your workout with your brother, I may be gonna look this guy up.
Check him out, man.
Yeah, and see, you know, I'll give him a test run, see what he can work with this, see what he could do with me. So, but when you like your 2-a-days, like when you're getting ready to go to camp, like when it's right. Like you're in the thick of it, what are your days like?
A tough day is I'll.
What time are we waking up? So, I say we.
a tough day is I'll wake up. I'll do what they call road work. So I'll run like 3 miles in the morning. So I'll jog like 3 miles. It's a good pace. So I try to get it in like...
Less than 30 or less than 25?
The 22, 23 is my goal.
Shit. Okay, my goals are like... My goal's less than like 45.
I feel you.
That's the frame I was talking about. Because you're going for like the short spurts. I'm doing a different thing. So you're like 22 minutes for 3 miles?
I'm trying.
So you're moving.
Yeah.
That's like not a sprint.
That's the goal. So it's like you go anywhere from 22 to 28. You fluctuate depending on the day, and it's on a bank, so it's on a ditch, so it's a real rocky terrain. So it builds little muscles.
Okay, so anyway, that's first.
You do that in the morning, and then that takes a lot out of you when you do it.
That's a full. So that's considered a workout.
Yeah. Okay. For sure. And then after, I mean, you do all your stretches and your warm ups before, and the stretches and the warm ups when you're an athlete is it's about a 30-minute warm up.
So before you start the exercise.
Yes, yes. And so we do that. And then afternoon session, we'll do lifting. We'll do various, depending on what day it is. We'll do it 4 times a week, Monday, Tuesday, Wednesday. Monday, Tuesday, Thursday, Friday. We'll do lifting. just strengthen all the muscles. Then the afternoon, we'll do track work. And track work could do, I mean, he has an extremely extensive, intricate program, but... So, for example, we'll do 6 200s. And that sounds really easy.
Hey, don't sound easy to me.
Until you get to the second one.
I'm a 45-year-old Jew from New York, okay? The 6 200s.
It's a hell of a
workout. That's a sprint.
It's a sprint. And you try to get those under 30 seconds.
Shit.
Yeah.
And that's what we're doing.
It's a grind. That's why when I laugh when I hear people like... on the internet.
You know what? You should one time, when you get back on Twitter, let me answer for you. Because this is
I'm great at talking shit. I talk shit, right back to him. Like, I remember one dude, he said, because, you know, I go through injuries, and he was like, oh, you made of glass. And he was a little heavier set dude. I said, well, you made of Jello. I go back and forth with him all the time, man.
Now,
it's
more
just
like,
playful banter. I don't take it
know,
serious.
No, I know, because it's...
I don't take it serious.
I don't take it seriously either. Like, I mean, some of the shit, back to the Cam stuff and the race stuff... I thought it was disgusting. And you know, it's like America revealed its ugly head. First of all, they act like this was the first black quarterback ever to play quarterback.
Nah, you know what? You know, I'll say this. I was a little, I don't want to say disappointed, but like I wanted to see Cam stand behind a statement because what he said, right. I feel like his PR team got behind him as they kind of retract that. But what he said was what is the reality of the situation. The reality of the situation is we've never had a black quarterback act right. like he was black before.
Right.
So
who wasn't, a, he wasn't certain, afraid of being black.
Exactly. So there's a certain charisma that young black kids have growing up in the inner city.
Right.
Like there's a certain that's what we walk with.
Right.
And so when you're trying to be politically correct, you have to enunciate. You right. have to be polite. You
right.
have to speak in this kind of dialect, right. and then you're considered a good citizen. Because right. if you don't, oh, he's ghetto.
Right.
He's this. He's that. And Cam is the first quarterback that's really, I say, aside from Mike,
he's fly. Like
yeah,
he's dope.
He does his thing and he doesn't care. And right. so like that's an issue. People don't want to see that as an issue, but it's an issue because a lot of the things, if Peyton Manning or Andrew Luck did some of the things that Cam did, it wouldn't be an issue.
Right.
But it's an issue because he's black. I wish he would have stuck by that because right. he's saying what he feels and he's saying what's right. He feels that. Nobody else feels that.
Right.
Because he has to walk around under this veil of being politically correct all the time and it's bullshit.
It is bullshit. And
I always say like athletes are, it's the weirdest dichotomy ever. So if you look at athletes and if you look at entertainers, right?
Right.
So like if an athlete gets arrested, it's like, I cannot believe it. What is he thinking? What a piece of shit, yada, yada. He's blowing it, yada, yada. If an entertainer gets arrested, it's almost like a...
It's good for business.
It's almost like, yeah, it's good for
if
business.
It's not too, if he doesn't take it too
yeah,
far.
Yeah, if he does, as long as he doesn't kill anybody.
Right.
It's almost, and especially if you're like a musician.
Oh, yeah. It's like, you got, then it's really
it's
good
credibility.
For business.
It's credibility.
If you're a rapper, number one, but yeah. even if you're a rocker.
Yeah, it's good. It's good. Like then you're known as a badass,
you
right?
know, obviously Kurt Cobain, it took too far, but like yeah. that whole run, I mean, it just yeah. builds the
and
legacy.
I'm definitely not condoning going to jail.
No, bro. I hear
Trust
you.
Trust me. It's the worst place. I've been there once and I never want to go
right.
back. But
I did 2.5 years, but Arian. I did like nothing. I did it on my head.
You did 2.5
on my fucking head.
2.5.
Nothing.
Nice.
Nothing. I ran the fucking
You're stronger
place.
Stronger than me.
I ran the whole fucking jail.
I stayed overnight and I was like, I would never
Yeah,
no,
nah, they're fucking
law.
Still talking about me in there. I had the whole fucking place. I had people, I had all kind of shit going on.
That's where you got your tattoos.
Tuna melts. I had the whole fucking thing going on. Whatever I wanted.
They came to you for the cigarettes.
Hey, whatever the fuck I wanted, I had the whole fucking place lined up. All right, I'm going to let you go. Arian Foster. Man. You got anything else you want to say?
Man,
you talk about? Did I miss any points?
I don't got a soapbox, man. I'm just here for you.
Well, this was a pleasure. Can I ask you something? If you're in Los Angeles, mm. I'm going to ask you on the air.
On the air.
Can me and you hit the hills, Runyon Canyon one time? We get a little workout.
Oh, for sure.
For real.
Soon as I'm healthy enough to run a hill,
oh.
I'm going to take you and I'm going to spank you.
No.
So we could put it
my
down.
My man.
Pause that.
We're gonna have a whole set of reality. Matter of fact, I'm gonna live podcast.
You gonna live podcast?
The Arian Foster, Michael Rapport. Run.
You ain't gonna be talking that much. You're gonna be breathing
man,
a lot.
My man, you got it all mixed up here. Look, but so you're not at the hill level.
No, yeah. I can't do incline right now. I just started walking on flat surfaces.
Okay.
The Achilles
Shit.
Hill. Yeah, Achilles Hill is a bitch, man. It's like you have to just take it slow. Because like they say, like once you start feeling good, that's when guys re-tear it. Because until it's like healed, they say once it's healed, it's actually stronger than the other one. But like until it's like healed, like the chance of redoing it is huge. So you just gotta take it slow.
We'll take it slow. It's a
we
pleasure.
We can walk down this beautiful neighborhood though.
Yeah, it's all right. For it's sure. all right. Trust me, it's a little deceiving. Trust me.
I hear you, man.
Trust me. There's some wild shit over it that goes on. You'd be shocked.
You loose dogs.
Don't.
I gotta tell you, man. I'm afraid of dogs.
I know, yo, Mr. Running Back.
And your dog, he ran up on me. He almost got kicked until you was like, he's okay. I swear.
Yo.
I swear.
I just want to let you know something.
I swear.
Arian Foster, my dog, Wheezy, who the only thing, here's this. Well, I'll keep it vague because I don't want to go too much into some of the craziness that happens here.
Yeah.
My car, my old car, I had a car parked in front.
All right, the Bentley.
The Bentley. Yes. Let's just call it the Bentley.
All right.
Got stolen. From right in front. Right. I went out one morning to take my kids to work. The car was gone. Fucking thing was gone. And when you have a big ass truck like that and it's gone, you know it's gone. Jeez. Like, you know, like you're like, where the fuck's my car?
Yeah.
Like the cops, the dog didn't bark all night. They did nothing. Jeez. The cops came. He charged damn cops. So this dog, he couldn't hurt a fly. But I just want to let everybody know, all the NFL fans with the tough running backs, taking blows, Arian Foster, 55-pound mutt.
Right.
Couldn't hurt a fly.
Nope.
Was a shook one.
Super scared of dogs. It's not that I'm scared. I think I'll win in a fight against any dog.
I got that.
It's like I'm scared I'm going to have to kick him.
I hear you.
You know what I'm saying? Like, I don't want to hurt anybody else's dog.
I hear you.
But I don't. I got bit in the face when I was 7 years old.
I got you.
From a dog that doesn't, quote unquote, doesn't bite. So
right.
So everyone's like, oh, he doesn't bite. It's what I say every time. Anytime anybody tells me that, like, don't worry, he doesn't bite. I say, well, that's good because I don't kick.
I hear you. My rule for pets, home pets, is if I can't beat it in a fight, I don't want it. Like, if there's a threat, if there's a dog, like, yo, he could do this, he's 175 pounds. If there's any inclination.
175?
No, I'm saying, you know how some people have these beasts?
I call them bears.
Right.
Yeah.
If I'm not 100% sure that I can't beat the dog in the fight,
right.
That shouldn't be a pet. Like, my mom got kicked by a horse, her horse. I wanted to fucking bull bat the fucking horse.
Good luck.
No, but I mean, it's like, you know, like, and she's like, oh, it was a mistake. I'm like, it's not a mistake. This thing should be euthanized.
No,
Kill this fucking thing.
No, he meant to kick you.
Yeah, he kicked my mom. Like, you know, like, so but that dog's fine. But I hope this isn't bad for your reputation, because, you know, like who let the dogs out? Like, you might get some barking and shit.
That's cool, as long as they don't let them loose. And your dog opens the door as we speak. Oh, that wasn't the dog.
All right, so we're wrapping up with Arian Force. This is the I Am Rapport Stereo Podcast, and we're out.
Much love.
All right. Yo, that was great. Arian Foster, my first one-on-one with an NFL. This guy's an all-pro. Came to the Gloom Tomb Solomente, and we knocked it out. Yo, remember to listen to me tonight on Rabble TV. I'm going to be commentating, talking shit, giving you the inside scoop on the NBA All-Star Celebrity Game on ESPN. It's coming on tonight. I'm also going to be doing the three-point contest and the dunk contest. And I also got a little part in this movie it's out, called A Stand-Up Guy. It's in theaters and it's on iTunes and on demand now. A stand-up guy. It's a funny film. Me and Ethan Sue play. Directed by my man Mike Young, who also has a dope podcast. Shit, I don't know what else. Yo, remember to go to Sherry's Berries. It's Valentine's Day this weekend. Don't fuck it up, okay? Men, don't fuck it up. Ladies, listen, it's good to get your guys a gift too, okay? Men like strawberries. Men like strawberries dipped in chocolate. All right, go to sherrysberries.com. Enjoy the weekend. I cannot wait to talk to you next week. We got the NBA All-Star Game this weekend and then the fucking Grammys. It's a podcast fucking potpourri dream. Podcast dream. The Grammys and NBA All-Star Weekend? Yo, I'm out.